I want you to turn to the book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter number 2. This morning I announced the title of tonight's sermon. It's called A Vessel. A Vessel. Now look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, and this will get us started into tonight's sermon. 2 Timothy chapter 2, find verse number 15, and then if you would, please stand with me. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to look at verse number 15, 2 Timothy 2:15. I'll read out loud and you can follow along silently. And the Bible says this: study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some of honor and some of dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. Help us with this simple thought. Thank you that the Bible is made so that common people can understand it. Spirit of God, guide us tonight with the thinking, that spiritual thinking. Bless us and help us, Lord, to leave this place being more like you and maybe a little less like ourselves. Thank you for what you've done for us already today. And God, it almost seems like we should not ask for more. But you told us we could ask, so we ask again that you bless us tonight as we look at your word, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there. What the passage of Scripture we just read tells us is this. If you knew the few verses before, the Apostle Paul has been prompting Timothy, a young preacher. Paul says, he tells that he had fought a good fight. And Paul said, I've basically finished my course and I've kept the faith. Then he tells Timothy, he said, now Timothy, I want you to go and use my example, and I want you to go and do the same. I want you to fight a good fight. I want you to finish your course. Now, nowhere in the Scripture does it say this, but if you've studied much about Paul and Timothy, when Paul stepped off the scene, really, to me, it almost seems like the best Paul knew how, he had tried to prepare Timothy to help lead to whatever part of Christianity he could. It seemed like Paul was kind of passing a baton to young Timothy and saying, Timothy, now somebody's got to carry on this work and somebody's got to keep things going. And it was to Timothy that he made that challenge. Now, what I'm amazed is this. What in the world was it that Paul told Timothy that he wanted him to be? Well, he didn't say, Timothy, I want you to be a king. That's not what he said. He didn't say, now, Timothy, I want you to go be the president. That is not what he said. He didn't recommend to Timothy, now, I want you to become a five-star general, or I want you to be a mighty leader. I think, Timothy, as I pass on, I want you to become a dictator in life. He didn't mention becoming an Olympic gold medalist, or he didn't mention being famous. You know what he said? He said, I want you to be a vessel. I want you to be a vessel. So the great Apostle Paul, in preparing a young man for Paul's passing, he says, Timothy, just be a vessel. Says in 2 Timothy 2:21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Wow. And you know, the Bible says that Paul was called a chosen vessel. And so I think if there's anything that Paul, this great man of God, was trying to pass down to a younger man, he said, you just need to be a vessel. Be a vessel. Now, what do we use vessels for? Now, so you all know, you say, what's a vessel? In case you're young enough, you can't figure that out. A vessel's a container. I asked Mrs. Owens if she had a canning jar, and she did. And this is a vessel, and that's a ball jar vessel right there. And this is a vessel. It's a container. I got to thinking about this thing of a container. You know what we're supposed to be? We're supposed to be containers. We're supposed to be containers. We're to be containers or vessels unto honor. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30, that the Holy Spirit, when we get saved, is sealed in us until the day of redemption. Now, if you know anything about a canning jar, you put something in it, and then it gets sealed. And there's a process that it goes through until there's a sealing that goes on. And that lid is a special lid that seals it. Did you know that when I got saved, the Holy Spirit moved inside me, and I was sealed with that Spirit into the day of redemption? You say, well, who gets to open that vessel? God will. Only God can open that vessel. But you and I, we're supposed to be vessels. I don't understand how some people can make the Bible so hard to understand. Well, God just looked down and said, you know what? You're supposed to be like a container. You know, we ought to all want to be a container for Jesus, a vessel, like that jar. When I was thinking about this, I just wrote down some things about a vessel, and I'm going to explain them to you tonight. Did you know that someone could be an unwilling vessel? Joshua chapter 22, verse 29 says, God forbid that we should rebel against the Lord. Mrs. Owens, and every once in a while, she'll get a jar, and a pickle jar or something, and it will be sealed so tight she can't get it open. And you know what that is? That's just a rebellious jar. Now she brings it to me, of course, the powerhouse of a man that I am, and I go ahead and crank that thing open a couple times. I've just split the jar in half, but I open that thing up, but it's a rebellious jar. Hey, any of you ever get a canning jar where it's had some moisture, maybe get on the lid, a little bit of rust, and boy, it can be hard to open. That's a rebellious jar. You know that God does not want you and I to be unwilling vessels? Let me apply it this way. If God wants to open that lid to put something down inside you, you ought to let him. If God wanted to change your life and he wanted to put some good ingredients in you as a vessel, you ought to say, God, I am more than willing. A rebellious vessel is one that rebels against God. They don't want to be used. Maybe God wanted to put something good in, and they said, I want to put what I want to put in my vessel. I think we ought to want God to put what he wants inside us. Open our minds to God. Open our hearts to God. And I really, really believe that God looks down, and he looks at our hearts and our minds, and he looks at what's in them, just like we could look through that jar, and he knows. You know, God can see right through you. I can't see through you, and you can't see through me. But God can see right through us, and he knows what's in the vessel of your mind. He knows what's in the vessel of your heart. He knows what you put in your body. But Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, just be a vessel. And I'm sure that then needed to be analyzed in Timothy's thinking. Paul even said, make sure you're a vessel unto honor. Be a right kind of vessel. So folks, you and I, we could be unwilling vessels. We could say, I'm not going to let God into my life. But that's not how it's supposed to be. Then I got to thinking, we could be dirty vessels. Dirty vessels. Psalm 51:10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God. One time I was trying to teach my children about the importance of cleaning their room. And that can become a challenge. How do you get it across? And what do you do to get it across? So, we are having revival in this place tonight. This is what I did. I went and I got three plates out of the kitchen. And on one of them was spotless clean. You could see your reflection in it. The second one, it was a partially clean plate. It had a little bit of messy stuff on it, but not much. The third one, it had mustard and it had ketchup. And it had macaroni stuck to it, and it was just nasty. The whole plate was cram-packed full of nasty leftover food. I said to my child, which I don't think was a boy, honey, was this something I taught Charlotta? Okay. And so I took these three plates and I said to my child that's not a boy, I said, now, if you were going to pick one of these plates from which to eat, which one would you pick? And she said, I think that clean one. I said, exactly. Now, which one of these plates is like your room? I don't remember the answer. But I went on to teach a lesson, and I said, well, which one of these plates would God choose? Said the clean one. And folks, you know something? We're a vessel. Now, that vessel right there is clean. We can see through it. It's clean. Now, I could have a second vessel that had a little nasty stuff in it, and then another that was cram-packed full of nasty stuff. You tell me, which one would God choose to use if he needed a vessel? Well, he would pick the one that was clean. And God does not want you and I to be dirty vessels. God wants us to be clean vessels. And you know, I think we need to be clean for God, and I think we need to be clean as an example to other people. People need to see that God's people are clean vessels, and clean vessels are more usable by God. Well, I continue to think about this thing of being a vessel, because Paul told Timothy, remember, he didn't tell him to be president or a general or to become famous. He said, you just get this thing of being a vessel worked out, and God will use you. You know what? You and I don't have to be the president. We don't have to be an Olympic gold medalist. God said, just figure out this thing. If you're a vessel, you get this vessel thing figured out, and I can use you. Then I got to thinking about a broken vessel. A broken vessel. Psalm 31:12, David said, I am like a broken vessel. Did you know that broken vessels can be used? Now, it would be our goal. It's my goal as your pastor to try to keep you from breaking your vessel. Young people, stay pure, stay clean. Don't mess up the vessel God has given you. Oh, but just in case, young person, your preacher tells you, you ought to try to go to the wedding altar being virgin and clean. But sometimes people have messed up their lives and they've made some mistakes. You say, but preacher, I've already messed up. Well, then do this. Why don't you be pure and clean from here on out? But might I say to everybody in here, your vessel, you say, preacher, my vessel's kind of messed up a little bit. It's been chipped and broken along the way. I won't do it, but if I wanted to, I could break that jar there. And it would leave there would be a bottom portion of this jar that's real, real strong glass along there. You know that if that thing were broken in half and the only thing left was the bottom of that, I could still put something in it. I could still put some water in it, or I could put something valuable in it. We could take some jewelry and put it down in there, and it would hold it still. So I want you to understand something. Even if you have a broken vessel, God can still use a broken vessel. Don't get the idea that you say, well, I've kind of goofed up, and I lived a wild life, and you know, the truth is, I've got scars in my life, and my testimony in the past is not what it ought to be. I pretty well don't think I'm usable by God. Oh, no, God uses broken vessels, and so you know, that's all he has to really work with, are a bunch of broken vessels. Some are broken more than others are broken, and sometimes we break them ourselves. You know, most of my pain in life has been self-inflicted. I have scars all over my knuckles and hands. And, you know, I'm the one that put most of those scars on there. Sometimes we break ourselves. Most of the time we break ourselves. Sometimes others break us. But let me say again, a broken vessel does not mean it's an unusable vessel. You say, I always had a dream of, my dream was this, and it was the perfect dream of the perfect Christian situation. I don't know of anybody that gets that. I've been watching for a long time. Strive for it. But boy, the devil comes along in life, and we break ourselves, and others break us. But don't stop trying to be used of God, even if your vessel's broken. I don't think that a broken vessel is a totally wasted life. I think there's things that you can learn from it, and you ought to go on and serve God. That jar broken could still serve some purpose for God. So, we could have an unwilling vessel. We could be a dirty vessel. We could be a broken vessel. We could be a misfilled vessel. Proverbs 14:14 says, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways." Let me warn you, folks, if your vessel is full of you, that'll get you in trouble. If your vessel is full of pride, that'll get you in trouble. If your vessel, if your mind, if your heart is full of what you want to be, where you want to go, what you want to say, what you want to think, you're going to have a problem. You were not given the vessel of your life for you to fill it with what you want it to be filled with. It's to be filled with what God would want it to be filled with. Are you filled with lust of money? Are you filled with a lust for power? Are you filled with lust for fame? Are you filled with a lust for possessions? Are you filled with hate? Are you filled with jealousy? Are you filled with stinginess? Are you filled with fear? Are you filled with booze or drugs or smoke? Are you filled with self-pity? If that's the case, you're filled with the wrong thing. God wants us to be filled, but He doesn't want us to be filled with the wrong thing. So I think that you and I, we're a vessel. We could be filled with the wrong kinds of things. I thought on this thought. And one day, I just looked at Paul saying to Timothy, don't try to go be all these big highfalutin positions in life. Just get down this thing of being a vessel. And that was so simple to me. And I analyzed it a little while. Then I came up with this. I thought, you know, I think someone could be a small vessel or a tiny vessel. Now, honey, what size jar is that? That's a pint, okay? That's a pint. I have here, this is a jar also. This has the oil in it that I use if I anoint someone, like if I'm raising people from the dead and things like that. Only do that in rare occasion, but sometimes it has to be done. I'm just kidding. Okay. Now, that, though, has my olive oil on it. According to the Bible, there are times when people ought to be anointed and prayed for, and that's not some spooky, charismatic hodgepodge of goofiness. That's just a scriptural thing that God tells us to do. That's an awful small jar. You notice it's much smaller than that one. You know, I think we ought to be careful that we don't minimize the potential of our vessel. The Bible says in 1 Kings 9:26, therefore their inhabitants were of small power. It was talking about a group of people that their power was small. They had minimized what God could have maximized in their life. You say, why do you think about the small vessel? Because I think sometimes we limit ourselves and we don't grow in the Lord. Do you know that the preaching is to cause us to do some living? The preaching is not for mental entertainment. The preaching and the teaching of the Word of God and your Bible reading, every bit of that is to prompt you to grow. And if all of us started with a jar like this, we ought to be expanding our jar. Our vessel ought to be expanding. There ought to be things that you're living in your Christian life today that you were not living last year. There ought to be things that you're doing in your Christian life today that you were not doing last year. It's called growth. Don't be small in the Lord. We put baby food in a baby food jar. Now, I doubt that anybody in this room still eats out of a baby food jar. And I'll tell you why. There's not enough there to get the job done. But you know, there are some people in here, you act like that spiritually. You see, the jar ought to be bigger than this. I'm talking about the vessel of your life. We ought to be expanding. We ought to be growing. God ought to be something. There ought to be something happening in our lives. And so that little jar, that pictures people that don't listen too much. People that don't have much patience. People that are not barely spiritually enough to take care of themselves, let alone help somebody else grow in the Lord. You can't take much when it comes to hard preaching, and you can't take much when somebody begins to try to tell you there are certain standards and expectations of your daily life. You ought to be living in public. You're not real good at much of that. Now, folks, it's time for some of you to grow out of the baby food jar and get a bigger jar, and your vessel ought to be expanding. You ought to be doing things for God today that you weren't a year ago. But you know what? Some of you, you used to be here, And you're backslidden. You went back to here. You used to live far better. Shouldn't be that way. We might have started small, but we are to be growing in our potential for God. So I thought of a tiny vessel. Next, I thought of an empty vessel. Now, I need to apply this. I think if we had a misfilled vessel, if our vessel was filled with the wrong thing, if we would do what the Bible teaches, which is repent, we should pour out the wrong things and fill it with the right things. And so I think there are things in, there might be something in your life that's in your vessel, and you need to get rid of it. You need to get that out of your life. You say, why? Well, first of all, whatever you have your vessel filled with, is if it's the wrong thing, then you're limiting the amount of the right things that ought to be in here. And to some degree, to whatever degree you're filled with hate, you're not getting the right amount of love in your life. And to whatever degree you're stingy in your vessel, to that degree, you're not helping other people in your life. So there's somebody in here, your vessel's filled with some wrong things. You need to empty your vessel. If you would keep your vessel empty of pride, boy, will that help you. I don't know about you, but pride creeps up on me daily. I find myself every day of my life needing to say to the Lord, why did I act that? Why did I think that way? Why did I behave that way? Every day I've got to take my vessel and I got to pour that pride out and confess it to the Lord. And I need to put humility in its place. You know what God's doing? God is searching for clean vessels that are empty of self and pride and sin, and he's looking to fill them with some wonderful things. Now, that vessel right there, it serves a purpose, and God wants you to have a purpose in life. So, my observation of Paul's conversation with Timothy, I got to thinking about, I wonder if Timothy went home after he got that note from Paul that said, I don't want you to be a president, I don't want you to be a general, and you don't have to be a dictator. Just be a vessel that God can use. Now, had I been Timothy, I would have thought, boy, I'm glad you made that easy. I can understand that. Then I began to analyze it. Am I going to be an unwilling vessel? Will I be a dirty vessel? Will I be a broken vessel? Will I be filled with the wrong thing? Will I be a tiny vessel that limits what God could do? Will I empty out the bad so I could be filled with something good? And which brings me to my next point. We ought to want to be a full vessel. Ezekiel 28:12 says, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You know, once you empty yourself of the wrong, you can then be filled with the right. The emptier you are of wrong, the fuller you can be of right. You know, here's something. You know, there's some of you, most of you, you don't drink, you don't cuss, you don't smoke, you don't steal, but you're still empty. You don't have a bunch of bad things in there, but you don't have a bunch of good things in there either. There are all sorts of Christians that won't go out and do wrong, but can I tell you something? God's plan for your life was just not the absence of wrong, but it was the presence of right. God didn't just want your vessel to be empty of sinful things. He wanted your vessel to be full of good things. You are empty of bad, but are you full of right? We should be full of love. We should be full of faith. We should be full of kindness and full of patience and full of honesty. And again, to whatever degree you are full of dishonesty, to the same degree, there's an absence of honesty in your vessel. But folks, if you're a born-again Christian, the thing that will help you with all of this is that you would be full of the Holy Spirit. Did you know God commands that you be full of the Holy Spirit? When you got saved, you got the Holy Spirit. He was sealed within you. He came to live within you. And the truth is, you got all of Him. The problem is, though, He doesn't get all of you. All of Him moves in. The way that He fills you is you allow Him to expand into your life. If you're not letting Him expand into your life, then you're not filled with the Spirit of God. Let me ask this question, and I will not belabor it. But I want everybody in here to answer this question. Are you, at this moment, filled with the Spirit of God? Now, I didn't ask if the Spirit of God lives in you. Because if you're saved, He does. Are you filled with the Spirit of God? We could fix every problem represented in this room if everybody in this room would just get filled with the Spirit of God. Now, let me make one more observation. We at home, and this just came to me. We at home, we have a pitcher where it's a water purifying pitcher where we put water in it and it goes through that pitcher and it goes through a little filter and then we have some nice clean water. I often will put that pitcher in the sink and I have to fill the filter tank so it'll go down into the regular pitcher that you can pour. And sometimes I'll go over there and I'll open the lid of it and I'll turn the water on and I walk away. More than one time, I walk away and I overflow it. And there's just water running everywhere. Now, that's not good. You can ask Mrs. Owens about that. That's not good. But let me tell you something. There ought to be some overflow in our lives. I could take this jar and fill it. The average person has no interest in their jar being full at all. But in case you want to be above average, I'd recommend that you fill your jar with good and then overflow it. Overflow it. 1 Samuel 10:22, it says that they overflow with righteousness. When you add to a full jar, you overflow it. You say, well, what's the overflow for? I'll tell you, the overflow, it spreads out what it is that was precious in the jar. For some of you, if all you get is just enough to make it through today, what are you going to do if you face an extra burden today that you weren't expecting? You might need a little overflow. If that jar is like, if this jar, we would be filling it with fuel so that we could make it to our next destination. You say, well, preacher, I know it's only 10 miles to the next destination, and I get 10 miles to a gallon, so just give me 1 gallon of gas. What would happen, though, if God wanted you to go 15 miles today? You might want to just fill her up to overflowing. The best Christians I know are people who are overflowing with the qualities of God. Not just enough to make it at the moment, but they're overflowing. We sing the song, my cup is full and running over. That's how it's supposed to be. Let's not let our vessel overflow with bad. Let's let our vessel overflow with good. Are you overflowing? What's in your vessel? Is it a dirty vessel? Is it a clean vessel? Paul, who I believe other than Jesus Christ was the greatest Christian in the New Testament. In 2 Timothy, he was virtually passing the baton to a younger Christian. And he said to him, I want you to do something. I don't want you to be president. I don't want you to be governor. I'm not asking you to be a king. I'm not asking you to be an Olympic gold medalist. Just get this thing of being a vessel straight, and you'll be able to do what God needs you to do. Clean it up. Empty the bad out. Put the good in. Be willing. And then, sometimes just fill that thing to overflowing. And it'll just flow out, and it'll change people, and it'll make a difference. Folks, everybody here, you are a vessel. What kind of vessel are you going to be for the Lord? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. As the pianist comes, my question to you is this. Are you the right kind of vessel? Let me start out by asking this question. Maybe, have you allowed some things to get into your vessel that should not be there? The sins of life, hatred, spite, bitterness. What's in your vessel? Would there be someone here tonight said, preacher, you know what? I really do need to empty a few things out of my vessel. There's some things in there that ought not be in there, and I need to get them out of there. Who here would say, that's me? There's some hands up. Sure. There's sometimes we get some things in there that should not be in there, and you may put your hands down. Maybe someone would say, "Preacher, there's some things I need to add. I need to add some good things to my vessel. You know, I'm not doing a bunch of wicked bad things, but there are some things I'm just not doing that I should be. I don't tell people about Jesus. I don't read my Bible. There's some things I'm not doing that I should." Maybe it's in regard to your giving. You say, I'm not going out and spending my money on wicked things, but God knows He's not getting the money that I ought to be giving Him. I don't know what it is, but who would say, "Preacher, there's an absence of good in my vessel, and I need to add some things to my vessel." Would you say that God is speaking to your heart? Would you raise your hand? God bless you. We're going to have an altar call. If you need a moment, you come up and just tell the Lord. Say, "Father, I'm a vessel. I know You can see right through me. And I want the bad out. I want the good in. I'd like to overflow my vessel with things that would please You." The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. If you need a moment this altar, you come. Just come tell the Lord. You need to either put some good in, maybe take some bad out. How long has it been since you overflowed that good? Are you filled with the Spirit of God? Or are you filled with anger? Are you filled with hatred? Are you filled with deceit and lying? Paul didn't tell Timothy, "I want you to be a dictator." No, he said, "Just get this thing of being a vessel straightened out." He didn't say, "I want you to be famous." Oh, no. He said, "Just learn to be a clean vessel unto honor. Do the right thing. Fill yourself with the right thing. Get the bad out. Put the good in. Be clean. Be pure. Be willing to be full. Don't be rebellious. Don't be like that rusty lid that is rusted on the old canning jar where you can't for any imaginable reason be able to get the lid off. It ought not be that way. If God wants to add something to our lives, we ought to be more than willing to let Him put it in our heart, and more than willing to put it in our minds, and more than willing to put it into our home. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Are you a small vessel? Are you like that little bottle of anointing oil? You're little in your patience, and little in your love, and little in your giving, and little in your the fruits of the Spirit. No, God wants those to expand. We need to grow. We shouldn't be little in the things that we do for God, but they ought to be expanding, and we ought to be growing. We just call the sermon tonight a vessel, a vessel. This is the last time through the song. We'll pray and be on our way. Fantastic.